just to remind everybody what the agenda is, we're supposed to be together here until noon. And then we'll have lunch and then some free time. And so my second session starts at 2 o'clock. So right now we're just going to talk about these questions that we talked about as small groups. And if we could have a representative from groups 1 and 2, I don't know if...
we didn't have any numbers, so just have to...
Okay, who are the leaders of 1 and 2? You...
Rick? Right. You can do 1 and 2.
So, if you or somebody in your group, if you designated somebody to come up here and discuss what you some of the things you talked about with questions 1A and 1B.
Whoa, blinding. So, in our group, what the non-believers think will happen after they die. We had the perspective of an atheist who, his perspective was that when you die, you take a 6-foot-deep dirt nap and it's just all over, baby. You become some kind of fossil fuel a million years from now that people will pump out of the ground to fuel their vehicles. But I think that the general consensus was that what most people think after they die, they think they're going to go to heaven. Don't you need that?
Yeah, just use it.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Yeah. I know you couldn't hear me before. Most people think that they're going to go to heaven because most people think there's this cosmic scale. And if I do more good than I do bad, then I'm going to heaven. Right? That big giant scale in the sky, and as long as my good outweighs my bad, I'm going to heaven. So I have found over the years that when I'm striking up a spiritual conversation with a non-believer, if you ask them where they're going to spend eternity, they tell me heaven because they've done more good than bad. And how that might influence them in how to live? Well, from the atheistic perspective of you get 60 or 70 years and then you take a 6-foot-deep dirt nap, how that influences a person is they become very worldly. They strive to accumulate as many of the toys that this world has to offer as possible because toys equal joy. And if you only got 60 or 70 years, baby, you better grab all the gusto you can find. And so it makes them incredibly hedonistic. From the other perspective, how it influences people with this cosmic scale theory is it promotes good works. It's why people are charitable. It's why they give money to the guy at the street corner to outweigh their bad actions and to tip those scales in their favor, so it has a tendency to produce an altruistic type of a mentality that you see only in humans. Nowhere in the animal kingdom do you see charity and good works. Only in, and I think it's that cosmic scale. So that's how we answered that. Anybody in my group have any other thoughts? No? I think that's it.
Well, I love the way you painted two types of non-believers, and I don't think we really differentiated on that as clearly as you did, so thank you. Who's group two's representative?
Anderson was with me. Don't try to steal Anderson.
I thought we had one more group.
Well, I finally got Anderson trained. Come over here.
I've got as much up there to trip over as you can. So.
Okay, so my group, we had Jay, Howard, Jeremy, and Scott, and had some great discussion on all these. So I've got question 2A and 2B. 2A, what do you think that most Christians think that heaven will be like? So, you know, it's not something you go around talking to other Christians very much, but we had some perceptions and some ideas. Mostly it was the usual. The streets of gold, angels and clouds, some vague ideas. And being with loved ones and friends, you know, reunited, which gives people hope in many instances. And then question 2B, how motivating will this make them to try to get others into heaven? Not much influence, because it's the vague understandings that they have, not very specific. We had an observation that heaven and hell really aren't clearly taught in the current church world. So that's what we had on 2A and 2B. Anybody else? Anybody in my group have anything to add to that, guys? No? Okay.
Yeah. Sure. What point am I doing?
It's 3A and B.
Yeah, A, B, but not C.
Yeah. All right. So for 3A, we were talking about describe heaven as you thought it to be. And our group talked about no pain, no sorrow, no regret. Also, incredible beauty, mansions, kind of a dream was kind of the description of heaven. And then the other was, are you excited about going to heaven? And my answer was no, but ready to go. And it was mainly glad to avoid. I think that some of the comments we had were the glad to avoid all the evil that is in our world and all the pain and suffering that we have to go through. And when we're into heaven, we don't have any more of that. So that was A and B. Anybody else in our group want to comment on anything that they thought about when we were talking? All right.
Yeah. Jeez.
Turn this one off.
Gadgets. So with question 3C, I want to do something a little different. I'd like everyone who is willing to come up here and give their elevator speech that they wrote down. If you wrote it down and you're willing to share it, I'd love for everyone to come up, but whoever is willing, come up and give what they thought is their 2 to 3 sentences that they would say to somebody if they were wanting to get them excited about eternity. Go for it. I left mine in the room, so I can't share it. I'm not going to run back there. But there's going to be better ones than mine.
Maybe. Do I need a microphone? We're good? All right. In 2 or 3 sentences, write what you might say to people about eternity to get them excited and motivated to bring others there. We had a lot of different answers. So out of our 3 or 4 paragraphs, I picked some of the best sentences in our group. In a world full of lies and temporary things, you must find the truth. And the truth is an eternal life in Christ and with Christ. You were loved and cherished by Christ forever, not a month, not a week, but forever.
Very nice. Can we just start down first row, second row, third row? If you're willing, to go up and share.
But heaven is a place where there is no more sorrow, pain, regret, or frustration, where there will be no fear or depression. Heaven will exceed the most joyful or satisfying time you've ever experienced on earth, and heaven will allow me an opportunity to talk with Jesus Christ without waiting in line and without the fear of feeling stupid.
I'll let mine over.
Okay. Move on.
Okay.
Where's that microphone? Who needs a microphone? Well, first off, with the living proof theme, I'm not going to say anything to a person in an elevator unless that person asks me for the reason for the hope that I have. And a stranger is not going to do that. So if I happen to be in an elevator with a guy I've been cultivating a relationship with, and he asks me for the reason for the hope that I have, I'm going to tell him that my desire is to return to the Garden of Eden, the relationship that man had with God, that Adam had with God before the fall, where he was God-aware, not self-aware, God-absorbed, not self-absorbed, theocentric, not egocentric, where he walked with God and talked with God in the cool of the garden. Joy, no pain, no suffering, just joy, as he had a personal, profound relationship with his Creator.
Hard to go after that one, but somebody will be willing. Come on.
He put the pressure on with that last one, didn't he?
Yeah. I'll just stand back here. I think you guys know. So, it's really based on the change that I learned just from this morning. And to me, I think, you know, because we are group beings, you know, to know that it's going to become tactile again. Only this time you're going to be free from the things that potentially held you back here and the freedom that brings for, you know, 1,000 years. One thing we also mentioned, you know, put doubt in their mind versus fear. Many of us have been brought up with the fear of going to hell. Maybe talk more about the doubt of not being there and what you're going to miss.
Nice.
Greg has been the witness protection program.
Anybody else? Last chance.
Hard to follow, Greg.
One more.
All right. Well, then enjoy some time before lunch. We'll see you at 12.
Cool.
Oh, I did one more thing. These are the books that I use to prepare. This one is a really easy read. All Things New by John Eldridge. And this is the one we did our group study on. And he does an amazing job at talking about how incredibly, like what Craig said, the earth and how beautiful it's going to be and how strong we're going to be and how much fun we're going to have and we're going to get to do exactly what we want. And he describes things that are just, I mean, he's using his imagination, but it really hits you hard about how beautiful and awesome every day is going to be. This one is hugely comprehensive. It's 450 pages. And by the way, both of these guys are scholars. I mean, they're not Joe Schmo who decided to write a book. I mean, they have doctorates. They have organizations, and they've done 20 years of research and speaking and writing on this topic. So again, it's not my opinion or really their opinion. It's biblical based, but this is hugely comprehensive. It's a bigger read than that first one. It's just Heaven by Randy Alcorn. And then the last one, which I had read because I was just interested in it a couple of years ago, is The End Times by Ron Rhodes in chronological order. So it just really nails down clearly what does the Bible say happens this now, then next, then next, then next. And that's what I tried to go over this morning. It's a lot to take in. But I'll leave these three books up there if you want to write them down or so you can order them. Thank you. I'll start my talk out with that when I get my notes from my room. I know, I have to be able to remember it. I like your off the cuff much better.
My email address. If you'll send me that one page.
Yeah.
You were talking about?
Yeah.
Instead of writing it down, I'll just give you that.
I'll do that.
Thank you.
That's really powerful. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so everyone will be here, but I've been January. Yeah. Like, what time would we have this one? I think I said that. Was the one on Facebook. I think he's less than thousands
of dollars.
We were having a little family to give him money back. Can't pick on this because he was
having
his 4-H July parties. And I was there with my ex-girlfriend. It was like the first time my sister's ever heard of
her. Oh, that meeting. Oh, the big meeting.
That meeting. There's a pool. There's a pond.
The big meeting.
The big meeting. There's a pond. They just don't know exactly what it is.
Yeah,
people know that's on the scene. One snake, another snake, another snake, another snake. All these snakes just started biting his face. It was just flopping around and screaming.
Even
and
it's
horrible.
We did.
I was like, what? So John gets up. He walks in the car. It was locked too. So
I should say,
grabs this guy, gigantic gun
from
him. Shoots this bullfrog
right
in front of the entire family. Bullfrog explodes with all the snakes, and it just rains down frog and snakes all over the family picnic.
All right, I'm going on your recommendation, Jay.
Well, I'll stand with my recommendation.
I will too.
I think you will enjoy one year in that.
Sure, I will.
I used to have it on video for years.
Something. It's one of the better ones. But
he just does,
you know,
like,
of course.
I think
you know, Diary of a Desert Man was kind of a classic.
Yeah, well, everything he writes is brilliant.
He's like all
you know.
His hair
it'll get you something to think about every day. I still got to read. Oswald Chambers.
I do too. I read it all the time.
I want to read about you.
We always turn that on.
We're in Walmart, and he's got these.
That's for sure. We'll read about Jesus every day.
It's like 3 o'clock in the morning.
I'm trying to
get set up for the business. And he's dragging a trash can out. And he's got, I'm like, John, you look like a serial killer. You look like you're going to walk up to somebody and ask him where the bomb is. So he just started walking up and he's dragging a trash can and grabbed it and catch it up on it. And so, like, did his blank face, like, when I was tired, the roof would run. I was just like,
he's got a bizarre sense of humor.
He's definitely got it. I love him again, but, you know, like, when I was living there, you know, I was just like, around so much, and I would just give these glimpses of his pain. I knew talking to him wasn't going to do me anything.
He
was going to shoot it down to my kidney out of my ulcer. Shut down. So just pray for the distance and try to comfort him as well as I could. The pain was just too great.
That's the whole concept of living proof. And probably the toughest people that didn't want living proof to is your family, right?
Yeah.
A prophet in the water in his hometown. But that is not many people. I think evangelism has got bastardized by the church. It is confident that I've got to. That I've had to manipulate the conversation. So if you have a lot of control, what does that make you? No strangers will ask you because they don't know that you have all this time. But it's acting out Matthew 5:16, let your light shine with women as opposed to your business. Not hear your good words. See your good deeds and pray for God.
We kind of started talking about that in context of some of those questions in our little. It was just like, it's much. Sometimes a concept like this is very different to just put in the words. It's impossible.
I don't know. Jeremy's just like work.
It's impossible even an entire
week
to try to really get the words right for it.
I believe that I need to earn the right
to
share. Yeah, hey, that's okay, man. You keep talking about it. I know it's in the forefront of your life.
The other day, she
and by the way, it's in the forefront of my prayers.
Thank you. It's in the forefront of my prayers to you, man. But
sure.
Yeah, she asked me the other day, because, like, you know, I talk to people in the office.
Very close.
And, like, I wasn't always so overwhelming, you know. I just wanted to stick it on. But more importantly, you know, just slow, you know, getting connections with people, getting to know people.
Well, I think that was
really good. It's definitely Jesus, man. It's definitely Christ in me, but it's now more of this. I really wanted the mentality to be involved with what God's doing. That's all. Like, I just say to myself in the morning, hey, God, please, I just want to be involved with what you're doing. That's really it. I know it. Because my personality really hasn't changed a lot. It's not even that I feel more confident. I feel confident about, like, myself.
No, flesh.
I feel confident in Jesus. But I don't think I ever really felt that before. I always revert back to, I need you to be better. That whole part of me has died. But she asked me about Rome. She's like, you know, well, we talked to a lot of people. Like, you seem like you're really good at those. And I was like, I would say, but I kind of.
But it's not me. Jesus said to the disciples that don't be fearful when you four men in my name, because I will give you the words to speak. Yeah. And man, when I try to manipulate the conversation to jam Jesus in there, man, it never goes well.
It's toxic.
And right, because it's me just trying to control the hope. But man, when I allow God to open that door, then he even gives me the words to speak. And I don't, well, I don't even remember what I said. But I mean, so I just know it's the Holy Spirit. And again, primarily because it's somebody asking me instead of trying to manipulate the conversation to jam Jesus in there somewhere.
I told you about the Kenny's last church thing, right? Mm-hmm. Well, Kenny, I got a pretty interesting insight into Kenny's kind of life with that, which is I was really looking for. He likes to teach. He wants to do the leadership thing, you know, and he has these people in his house, and they come over, and they're hungry for the word of God, but they're like very kind of mature Christians. They love worship stuff, and they love it, and that's great. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not on the issue with that. But I've been trying to encourage Kenny to more, again, like write his testimony out, because these are people that are Christians. I mean, they've been Christians their whole lives. And they think that missions trips are the coolest thing in the world. They think that will make them totally complete. So I've been trying to find a way to encourage him to write that out and share it in this little group he has, because it's the perfect kind of environment for him to go, okay, I've got this 15-minute story I can share with people who already know me and trust me. And that will create an intimacy between them, but also impact them, because they need to realize that going on these mission trips or getting more involved with church ministry and stuff isn't going to fulfill them like intimacy with Christ. It might fulfill them for a very short period of time, but when that whole church thing happens, they start load you up with responsibilities and you're just weighted down. It's not so great
anymore. And then you don't have time for the lost people that God's engineering your path.
No impact. That's
right, and you don't even have a vision for it, because your vision is to go somewhere.
Yeah.
And be a minister, as opposed to, man, you're just walking right over dead people as you're going to some foreign country to minister to somebody that you're going to see for 2 weeks and probably never see them again.
Yeah.
Plus, if Kenny had the vision, because you know what the navigators, they do this thing called the John study, and so some of the guys in the movement are starting to use the John study, but they're not using it the right way. The John study should not be in lieu of one-on-one discipleship. It should be the forerunner to it, where you get some guys in, and then you're looking to pluck a guy out of there and go one-on-one and go deep with them. So Kenny's got a fishing hole right there. Man, he should be, because those guys are never going to mature in that environment. You're going to mature when you have a spiritual father who pours his life into you and takes on. And then starts laying those deep biblical truths that you can begin to build on. You've got to write a testimony and memorize scripture and understand his calling as an insider. Understand how the enemy works. You know, you're being able to have a purpose statement. All those things that get laid out and operate, he should be plucking the guy out of there.
Yeah, I agree. I can see it. You know, the seeds are there. There's still a lot of rocks and voice places in this life that God's just working through. But it's there. You know, the seeds have been planted, and you know, it's just a matter of time. I believe that. Like, it'll probably
come. Are you going to his engagement party?
Yeah.
It is right when Dana and I are going to be in Colorado, so he invited us. But
what day is that on the calendar?
It's like next Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
But we're still in Colorado next Saturday. So we're going to have Kenny and Emmy over and do an individual thing with them.
Yeah, I'm going to go to that. I told Kenny I would try to start going to his little group here and there, because you know, I'd like to get to know him, and I'd like to be able to kind of see them together. And Kenny, to know him geographically, it's difficult to schedule. His weird. You know, he hasn't gotten to a place where he is making the kind of time to meet up that I think he could, but I'm trying not to be the one to have that. I'm trying to be him on his level.
Yeah, because he does have a ton going on. Yeah. He's got full-time job. He's trying to transition into real estate, which, by the way, and trying to transition into real estate. Well, he cultivating a relationship with his woman, doing the house search thing. He's got
he kind of stopped the real estate thing. I think the only reason he was doing it, and I met the guy who got into it. This guy is a total salesman. He's like a guy who would do the evangelism thing. Like he's a total salesman. And Kenny kind of said something about that recently. He was like, I think I just let this guy's sales pitch me into the idea that I can make all this money. Yeah. And so I don't
Kenny's birthday didn't line up with that real estate stuff.
I don't think he's even doing it now. I think he's kind of tried here and there, but. Yeah, I just told him, I'm like, man, you know, the right thing is going to come along. You know, I'm trying to encourage him, meet him on his level. But knowing what I know with his situation right now, I think he is concerned that if he commits to something, that it's going to take away from his time to do what he wants to do. Really, I think he wants to do stuff with the church people all the time. And he kind of vacillates on the value of the discipleship relationship. And so, like, I've really been praying and asking God, okay, like, I want to know exactly the right way to approach this. And he consistently reminds me, I have to hear actually this verse from Peter, but he writes that, not that we want to dominate you by telling you how to live your lives, but we want to be supportive of you so while you work out your faith. I just keep getting pointed back to that. This is how I would approach it, be supportive of him. Even if it's hard, because again, opinionated thing, I want to go do. You right. can make time.
Right.
I want to point out the things that I know are my opinion, mm-hmm. and so I'm trying not to do that.
Really yeah, because of course, and you and I have talked about this ad nauseum. That when you do that, you have a tendency to alienate that person from you because they feel that they're being criticized, and nobody wants to be around somebody that's going to be critical of them. Whereas if you support them. Then when that little house of cards that they're building falls apart, you're there to help them pick it up. Let's go to the bathroom.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm hoping, man. I love him. I love Kenny.
I love you, man!
He's at that precipice, man, where it's like he's going to fall off and mature. He's gonna...
Well, either way that he falls, he'll fall into the hands of the Lord. And if he falls in a way...
Scott.
Well, I think, we don't have our, seem like a smaller crowd. And
we do.
And the football's not being thrown around. I think, guys, I wouldn't mind getting home a little earlier either.
Exactly.
So it's straight up, plus that clock's always on. Okay.
12:47.
You a little trickery, huh? 12:47.
I'm just trying to get caught up on a bunch of stuff I didn't even look at. I got messages from Tuesday.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Good luck.
expected a little a bigger bag.
I picked this bag in particular because it looks like a lunch bag.
Mm-hmm.
And someone would be less likely to steal it.
There you go.
Unless there was somebody who was really hungry.
In which case, they'd be sadly surprised.
Yeah.
You have really bright sunlight.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Create a shield or a surround for it.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. If we position the drone in front of the porch, that we can get a bunch of men across the front.
No sweat.
I can actually like I
missing a few people. I don't know where they are. That's my problem. Although I think they're out there.
Well, some are napping, some are fishing.
Yeah, some are napping, some are fishing. And Cutter's going to go out there and get those guys on the pier. So I got those guys fishing. And
is everybody settled up with you?
It's always catch as catch can. But most of the guys...
Is that a yes or a no?
It's kind of a yes.
Okay.
Most of the guys are pretty good about it. If they'll sell it or, you know, however that all works. But I always have a few little stragglers, but I let Daniel worry about those. Just because I can only do so much when I'm here. And,
yep. And you do a lot.
And, you know, it's just part of the process.
Rewriting them?
Just getting my mind back on the fly.
I almost don't want to put up the speakers.
That is it.
Oh, is that
but
is?
But we're not using it. We're using this one.
Okay.
We're not using his projector that we just bought because it didn't work.
That's my nerves.
I turned that projector off. You can turn it back on again.
Yeah. Yeah, no problem.
I just didn't want to overheat it.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
20.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Because I was like, someone will be looking for that.
Tell me true, is there a better day than today to come by your property? I know you have stuff to do this afternoon and this evening. I don't want to be away. I want to move, but I don't want you to think I'm not interested in you. So if you go shoot me straight here. It puts more pressure on Emma. Then let's not do that.
It doesn't. She texted me and said, hey, just to let
I do want you to, for both you and Renee, to come out sometime, but since we're over here, I thought it would be good to meet you.
Yeah. So.
You can see Sebastian and Nicolay.
And the dogs.
One.
Charlie,
yeah. Charlie. He's something else. He is very protective of Emma. Like, he doesn't want me to get close to her.
Is that right?
Yeah. Every now and then, I think I've trained him, and he's finally come around, and then I think he's got dementia, and he forgets and starts all over again, and he's protecting her. From me.
From you.
Yeah.
You just keep learning.
Yeah.
It'll take 2 minutes.
Once I gather everybody, you just throw it up?
Just fire it up. I'll bring it up, shoot a couple of stills, we're done.
Okay. All right. So on the steps of the gazebo, that will work?
Sure.
Okay.
Charge?
3.
So the thing which goes in the middle, that's the battery? Like more automatic.
That's the engine. And it has a micro SD card that records video and so forth. 64 gig, something on chip about that big.
I'm sorry about that.
And the laptop that I have, I don't need an adapter, it's plugged right in. That's handy too.
Okay. You have a few of those at the office or?
2 drones. I've been trained to use it, and another guy that trained me to use it has the other. And some of the others are allowed to use the drones if they want to. Most say you do it.
I think Jerry maybe use it on his own. He's used drones.
Did Dylan have a drone?
Yeah. Oh, Dylan.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. I could fly a drone.
Right. You can get certified to be a drone pilot. You get overflight permits and all kinds of stuff. And why not?
So I bought a drone that's like $400 drone. And I never had the time to use it. And when I did, I think the software went out of date. And I tried to update it. And something's not jiving. And I haven't had time to fix it. Hopefully, I can still can. It's just a matter of updating. Came out, but I've used it like maybe 3 times.
Well, if you want us to fiddle with it, bring it to dinner. We'll see if we can update the software or whatever else you can do.
Are you?
Yeah, I mean it.
Like you're familiar with it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think it has to do with mine is like it's not a professional one like that one. It's like this, and the battery. Yeah, the battery's like this. And it looks like a battery.
I think that costs about $1,200. It's not a battery.
Okay. Well, where I was getting with that is that maybe the issues that I'm having is because it's a cheap drone. Okay. I don't know. But wait, I'm happy to bring everything back.
Mike, Scott and I will look at it too. Okay. Between the two of us.
So what happened is, the last time I stopped using it is that it just started drifting away.
It just took off.
Yeah, and it was in my neighborhood. So it's not like it was not an open field that I could chase after him. I had fences and houses, and it was going to the other street. And somehow, and you, I don't have control over it, it's through the iPhone.
Yeah.
And I was able to bring it back. I don't know what I did, but I was able to bring it back. But it's because some of the, let's see how I say this, it's got a lot of technical terms in there that I don't recognize. But some of those adjustments were not worth, so that it was going in one direction. But somehow I was able to pull it back and brought it back down as soon as I could and stop. It was telling me that I needed to fix something, and I just never. I haven't spent the time to do it.
Yeah. Usually, most drugs come with a home button. You get the home, and this comes back.
Yes.
That must have been what happened.
But, well, I have to. It has to be if you're in the neighborhood. I have to be in front of you for you to tell it to land. I don't want it to land somebody else.
Yeah. No, the home needs to come back here.
Yeah. Right. I know he does that, and maybe I wasn't thinking about that or don't know how to do it, but I know there's a button that it tells him to lean, and that's what I wanted it to do. I wanted to stop, and so somehow I broke back and I landed it. But yeah, I can show you what it's saying it's missing, and maybe if you recognize the terms, I didn't recognize the terms. The name.
You update the software that what it needs.
So I did update, and it wasn't working. It's still. Maybe I need to update it again. Maybe that's what I need.
Or maybe the firmware, not just the software.
Okay.
Which is different.
Which I don't know the difference.
Well, firmware is what's on board. Mm-hmm. So if you updated the firmware on the drone itself, it might recognize the software interface.
Okay.
Whereas if you don't update the firmware, it may not be upgraded enough in its own memory to pick up what you're getting.
Okay. Might be a little challenging to do this under updaters.
If you will trust me with it, I'll take it back to the
office. Got it. Yes.
Yeah, we can do that.
So I don't have control though, so you have to
download
the software. Okay.
Not much sleep last night.
Yeah. All right, let's go get a good steak.
No. I just woke up and I'm good.
Back to your position.
Oh, yeah.
Step out of the wire.
Okay, yeah, I'm not going.
Now, you could hang a target on it, fly it, and then shoot it as it's moved.
But if you miss.
But if you miss, then it could cost you to be very expensive. So there's, that's the motivation.
Oh, it sure does.
I'll get right on that. Oh.
No, 2017.
So, when we start doing readings again, you guys want to start it?
I can start. He was the last one.
TCU. Oh, okay. Yeah, there you go. But we've already done this one. Yeah, I'll spare you.
You gave me a short one, good deal. Nice and short.
You like that? I think the next one could be the shortest. But there's a lot of verses in this part. A lot.
And it looks like for me.
Hope it's the best one.
I'm sure it will be. By tomorrow?
Yeah, we're gonna stay at Sam's today.
Cool.
Watch some America's Cup. The World Cup, and then
okay.
And maybe some college football.
There you go.
And then we'll get back in Cincinnati just in time for the Bengals to play Kansas City, which is a big game.
Is it? Okay.
You're not an NFL guy?
Mm-hmm. I'm not a big
sports guy.
I can't believe
some sports, but not that much.
Yeah. I don't watch a ton of it anymore.
I enjoyed watching the World Series with the Astros in it.
Exactly. Special occasion. Yeah. Well, Sam had bought a new projector and a new speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And the projector we could not get to work.
Oh.
So fortunately I had one I brought as a backup.
Okay.
It works. And Stan was just sitting there.
Oh, okay. So the family already had that. So you just leave your projector that you brought with you. Cool.
Yeah, something always goes wrong
of
with
course.
AV.
Of
always.
Course.
Time to head them up and move them out. All right, a couple of announcements. I can have your attention. We'll be returning to Pine Lodge for retreats coming up. Pine Lodge, much ballyhoo. It should be really very nice, and I look forward to returning to that venue. We'll continue to do Cat Spring here. That'll happen in December, but the other retreats
Take in, may I remind people that Pine Lodge is very limited space, 15 or 17 spaces, unlike Cat Spring and Hunt. If you don't reserve RFPG early, you may not make a spot.
I never turn this thing off, so you got my entire lunch conversation.
That's okay.
So you'll be able to edit.
Yeah, they'll edit it. Yeah, they'll take care of all of it.
Never had.
Maybe. So, during the course of our time together, we have seen miracles, and we've heard about them. We saw a couple of stellar examples of the movement model of living proof. Good job on the movement model, Sam, thank you. But life on life and living proof is what we're doing here. This is where we get trained up to do the kind of things that Jay and Andy talked about, that Dave talked about during the free time, living proof. We got to see the courage of a man to share about his mom, what it meant to him. And in order to be God's man, you got to be a man. And I got to see one this morning. Thank you, Scott. Speaking of that, the devotional that he used, we'll make available to you. So the little drum photos that you saw, we're going to send that to Dana. We're going to send the devotional to Dana. She'll recap some of the things we talked about this weekend. And that will come to you after Rick and Dana return back from vacation. I can say that, right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Dana will be doing it, not me. So
I think that settles us up. Be sure and make sure that you got everything out of your room. There are drinks and snacks for the road. If you need them, want them, yours to have. So now, I'm eager to hear about heaven. Scott, take us away.
So here's another thing you can edit out. In addition to all my lunch conversation, which apparently has been captured, maybe we'll put it out there, see if anyone wants to listen to it. But you can also edit out the next joke. So I thought to start off again with a little bit of heavenly humor. So there were three blonde women who died together in a car wreck. They find themselves standing in front of the pearly gates with St. Peter. He warns them that before they can enter heaven, they have to tell him what Easter is all about. So the first blonde says, "Easter is a holiday where we give thanks, have a big feast, and eat turkey." "No," groans St. Peter, "you don't get in." So the second blonde said, "Easter's the holiday where we decorate a tree with pretty ornaments and give each other presents." St. Peter says, "No, you don't get in either." The third blonde, well, she's pretty impressive. She says, "Well, I know what Easter's all about. Easter is a Christian holiday which coincides with the Jewish Passover. After Jesus celebrated Passover with his disciples, he was betrayed by Judas and turned over to the Romans. They crucified him on a cross. After he died, they buried him in a tomb and put a huge boulder in front of it." "Very good," said St. Peter. But the blonde continues, "Now every year the Jews roll away the stone and Jesus comes out. If he sees his shadow, we have 6 more weeks of winter." So once again, we see that there's a lot of ignorance out there about godly things, and especially about heaven and eternity. So let's go back to the beginning of the Bible and the beginning of creation, because it's very relevant to the topic. God created the entire earth and universe and everything in it. He created it exactly the way he wanted to create it. And it was perfect. The second row is going to start on our verse readings today, and there are a lot of them, so probably the rest of the room is going to get to participate. So read God's observation on his creation in Genesis 1:31a.
God saw all that he had made, and it was very good.
It was very good. The only time he used very good in his observations. Looking at all and how it all looked and worked together, and he was very pleased with what he saw. Even on earth today, even though it is under the curse, also in Genesis, it's remarkably resilient. With everything about the earth is in cycles, day and night. We have the seasons, things come, die, and come back. We have the life and death of plants that when they die, they're fertilizer for the next set of plants. There's natural cleansing of oceans, lakes, and streams. Somehow it just, you know, animals take a poop in it and pee in it, and somehow it all goes away. It's hard to explain. Animals are creating carbon dioxide, which plants consume. And plants produce the oxygen that animals require. Everything seems to be in cycles of renewal. The earth has varied but livable temperatures, being perfect distance from the sun. It has the perfect atmosphere with clean air, clean water, perfect gravity that enables us to stay on the ground but run and jump. Natural magnetic fields. Naturally contains every substance possibly needed or desired by man. Surely that's a coincidence. The earth has a moon to create tides, the perfect mix of water and land. Water that evaporates somehow invented this substance that's pure and clean and everything needs it, and it evaporates out of all of this water, comes across onto dry land and drops itself. Amazing. For the water for the plants and animals to live away from the bodies of water. And I could go on and on and on. Dan and I often talk about you have to have more faith to believe that this is a coincidence, that all of these things are on the earth and work together and renew. You'd have to have more faith that that's a coincidence. Then it's so much harder to believe that, in my mind, than to say God created it. It is so obvious, and that's what Paul even said. The creation makes it so obvious. It's right in front of you. No one has an excuse not to believe. The earth has flowers, trees, mountains, lakes, rivers, oceans, animals, snow, ice, sunsets and sunrises, stars and galaxies. It has beauty and variety in every form of potential entertainment for man to enjoy. It has people with all different talents, personalities, and interests that enable society to operate. Art to be created, science to be discovered, leaders to organize. I find it really fascinating that God put the perfect set of personalities and interests within his people that makes a society click. You don't have everyone wanting to be an accountant. You don't have everyone wanting to be a lawyer or an athlete. I mean, it's remarkable. God intended to live on the perfect earth with sinless people formed in the image of God. When Adam and Eve sinned, God cursed the ground and prevented man from accessing the tree of life, which resulted in death. I don't believe this caught God by surprise. He made man with a free will, and he knew man would sin. So he enabled man to have eternal life by sending Jesus Christ to die for our sins on the cross, and enabling man to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. He wants to spend eternity with those who want to spend eternity with him. And he does not want to spend eternity with those who do not want to be with him forever. Having said this, when he is designing the place to spend eternity with his children, why would he not recreate exactly what he perfectly created from the beginning? A beautiful earth with a rich variety of physical features, substances, plants, animals, talented people. An earth that naturally renews and rejuvenates. An earth without disease or pollution. If anything, he would make it very similar, but even better. And somebody pointed out he created the first creation in 6 days, and he's had thousands of years since then to think about how it might tweak it a little bit better, but I think he's pretty good about making it amazing the first time. So that gives you some background on the topic, but let's jump into what the Bible says about this topic. And there'll be a lot of Bible verses coming up. So, and especially it's going to be what about the aspects of this renewed earth, renewed heaven, renewed creation. And let's start with Isaiah 65, where Isaiah describes heaven very well. You want to start for us? Oh, you're sorry.
Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountains, says the Lord.
So from these passages, we see that heaven will be a place of pure joy. We will be building things. We will farm and eat its fruit. There will be many kinds of animals there. The animals will be peaceful, and they'll be vegetarian. They're not going to be running each other down for lunch. Let's see what Peter has to say about heaven in 2 Peter 3:13. Start. Oh, go ahead.
In keeping with this promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of the righteous.
Why would Peter and others refer to a new earth if it didn't resemble the current earth? He could have referred to a new place, a new destination, a new land, something. But it's always the earth, and it's capitalized. It's a place. Let's read Revelation 21:1, what John saw in his vision.
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away.
And then read Revelation 22:3, what John says about that new heaven and new earth.
No longer.
So the implication between those two verses is that heaven is this earth without the curse. If you put those two passages together, that's what it's saying. The heaven is this earth, but without the curse. Read Ephesians 1, 8 through 10, what Paul wrote about eternity.
All wisdom and understanding made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ.
So he's saying that in the end times, he will unite heaven and earth under the reign of Christ. I mean, it's very plain to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Read Isaiah 6:3, in which he prophesies about heaven.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.
He's referring to the new earth, not the one under the curse, which is the new heaven. And finally, in Matthew 25:34, what Jesus says to his followers.
Come, ye who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world.
And where is this kingdom? It's exactly where it was when it was created, on earth. If God did not ultimately live with his sinless children on the perfect earth that is created, then Satan, in a way, would have been somewhat victorious by disrupting God's plan. But God will not be defeated. He will live on a renewed earth with his sinless people as he originally intended. So that's a lot of verses to back up that concept of what is it? Is it in the clouds? Is it a non-physical, just spiritual place? Yeah, it's clearly all over the Bible that's not the case. So let's now discuss the New Jerusalem, the New Heaven, and the New Earth. And really, it's about heaven and earth being the same place in eternity. Read Revelation 21, 10 and 11, and 16, please.
And he, an angel, carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. He measured the city with a rod and found it to be 1,500 miles in length, and as wide and high as long.
Thank you. So the 1,500-mile cubed or pyramid shape, some people think it might be a pyramid, was coming down from heaven to the new earth, to the new heaven, which was on earth. Read Revelation 21, 22, and 25 through 27 regarding the New Jerusalem. Interesting, the Lamb's Book of Life. So here we have Christians in the New Jerusalem, which is the new heaven on the new earth. So we will be in it. Whether we'll live in it or not, it's not crystal clear. Do we have mansions in it? There's plenty of room. We were talking about that at our breakaway. We could each have a mansion in a building that or a structure that is so big. 1,500 miles square on one level is still pretty big. Now go 1,500 miles that way, level after level after level. You could have millions and millions and millions of mansions. I'm not saying it is a mansion. If you take it literally, that's what it says. Do we live inside the city or outside? I don't know. We're free to come in and free to come out. It's beautiful. It's huge and stunning. In the book, Heaven Help Us, Stephen Lawson explains, God's glory will fill and permeate the entire new heaven, not just one centralized place. Thus, wherever we go in heaven, we will be in the immediate presence of the full glory of God. Wherever we go, we will enjoy the complete manifestation of God's presence. Throughout all eternity, we will never be separated from direct, unhindered fellowship with God. It's a pretty strong statement. So it's often asked, what will we do in heaven? Well, let's get some pictures of that. Let's read Revelation 3:20. I'm sure a lot of you could quote that without me putting it up, but who's next? Dan?
Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me.
So Jesus will eat meals with us. We know that. And then read part of the parable in Luke 12:37.
It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait.
So this is the master serving the servants. So Jesus may even serve us meals. That's what he's saying there. You will be able to spend time hanging out with Jesus. Remember, he chose us, and he wants to be with us personally forever. He will enjoy your company and mine. And there won't be time constraints. There will be travel, outdoor activities like hiking or skiing, great art and science advancement. You will most likely have the opportunity to learn anything you ever wanted to do. Instruments, languages, astrology, Japanese cooking. You fill in the blank, whatever it is that you're really into. There's no need for a bucket list. Some of us don't like the term anyway, but there's no bucket list you have to complete before you die. You have time to do all those things on your bucket list and thousands more. And what will our bodies be like? Jesus, by his resurrected body, demonstrated that our same bodies will be renewed and resurrected, although with some upgrades. We won't age, get sick, sin. Jesus walked and talked as normal. Everyone recognized him. He could walk through walls. That's pretty cool. If you know the physics of cells or of atoms, you know, supposedly 99.99 something percent of everything is space, which doesn't make any sense to me. But that's what the physicists say, so maybe you could be able to literally walk through walls and other things and still, I mean, that's space. It doesn't make any sense. But Jesus remembered all past acquaintances and experiences. there's a continuity between our current lives and our resurrected lives. So it's not a new person, that looks different and has different interests and doesn't recognize anybody. And it's very continuous by every indication biblically. And with the height of New Jerusalem, could it be that we could levitate or fly? Or will there be vehicles or some way to... Surely you're going to have to get from down here to 1,500 miles up. That's a lot of stairs. So there's got to be a way to get around quickly. It'd be pretty cool if we could fly. Let's read 1 Corinthians 15:49 through 55 about our new heavenly bodies. Who's up? Oh, yeah.
Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised, and perishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with mortal, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?
That's one of the more complex paragraphs in the Bible, in my opinion. But what he's saying, that we will have perfect bodies like the resurrected body of Jesus, immortal and imperishable. He's saying that our current bodies as flesh and blood, cursed and under sin, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But our future bodies, untouched by sin and indestructible, will be able to inherit God's kingdom. Does anyone here know a guy named Tad Lawrence? Tad is... one of the greatest Christian men I have met in my life, from Cincinnati. He died a few years ago of pancreatic and liver cancer. Before he died, I saw him at a breakfast. I was there with a Timothy, and he was there with a Bible study. And he was extraordinarily gaunt. He looked like some of those pictures from the Vietnam prisoner camp. Just bones. He could hardly walk. I came up to him and I said, I understand you're going through a very difficult time. He looked at me and said, what? Because I haven't been going through a difficult time. I just had pancreatic and liver cancer. But this has been an incredible time of joy in my life. I have had the opportunity to share the gospel with many new people, and several have given their lives to Christ. I watched an hour of his testimony that was in a tribute that our church had for him just before he died. And he was talking there just as skinny as you could possibly be and still be alive. And he said he had more joy in the past year that he had been sick with cancer than all of his previous years combined. Tad was 100% sure of where he was going next, that he would spend an eternity with Jesus in a young, strong body again soon. And he also said he was joyfully using his platform to share the gospel and bring others with him. Very, very inspirational story and man. So another topic I'd like to address is what will society be like? Will it be organized, or will it just be everyone on their own doing their own thing? Well, we know Jesus Christ will be the leader, ruling from the New Jerusalem. We also know that we will receive rewards or crowns for what we have done on earth. Read a couple passages about this. Revelation 22:12.
Look, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done.
In Jeremiah 17:10.
Jeremiah 17:10. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve.
And read in Philippians 4:13 and 14 what Paul says about earning rewards while on earth for heaven.
The one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and...
You're doing what you're about to read.
And straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
Right. Now listen to this. Randy Alcorn, author of Heaven, says that because crowns are a primary symbol of ruling, every mention of crowns as rewards is a reference to our ruling with Christ. Fascinating thought. He said that there will be a social hierarchy of government, but no indication of relational hierarchy. In other words, the Apostle Paul will be in a position of greater leadership with more crowns than most of us, but that doesn't make him inaccessible. So he's saying that, you know, there's millions and millions of people in eternity, and it's not chaos. There needs to be organization. Jesus isn't micromanaging everything that needs to be done and decided and built and this and that. There is an organization we'll continue to talk about it. Read Revelation 22:24 through 26, that there will be nations, kings, etc.
The nations will walk by his Jerusalem light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it.
So, there's mention in that paragraph of nations, of kings. So, again, it's not a free-for-all that everyone is on their own. There is organization. You may not have a desire to lead. When I talked to Dan about this, Dan was like, I don't want to be in government. I hate government. So you may not have a desire to lead, but God will equip us for whatever God wants us to do. We will have no more skepticism and disillusionment about government, because we will be governed by Christ and by Christ-like rulers. Read 1 Corinthians 6, 2-3, where Paul discusses governing others.
Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Do you not know that we will judge angels?
And the word judge in this case, apparently when you look back at the Greek or the original language, does not mean judge once, but continually. So again, it's a form of governing. Read Luke 14:11, where Jesus explains who will be ruling.
The humble servant will be in charge of much. For everyone who exalts himself will be humble, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.
So the personality types that typically strive for leadership on earth will not necessarily be the type that will be governing on the new earth in heaven. So the most humble may be the most high. Yeah. Imagine responsibility, service, and leadership that's pure joy. The responsibility that God will entrust to us as a reward can only be good for us, and we will delight in it. To rule on the new earth will be to enable, equip, guide, offering wisdom and encouragement to those under our authority. Read the parable in Matthew 25:23. We've probably all read once, so we want to start back on the first row.
Matthew 25:23. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful for a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come share your master's happiness.
So Jesus is describing rewarding those who have used their gifts wisely here on earth. And finally, Daniel 7:18.
But the holy people of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. Yes, forever and ever.
God has never abandoned his original plan that righteous human beings will inhabit and rule the earth forever. I can't speak for Daniel. he's really trying to drive that point home. So in conclusion, again, we ask ourselves, if all these verses are in the Bible that we all read, why are these concepts not widely known? We have already discussed Satan's desire for us not to understand the abundance that awaits us. Sometimes we just assume people know things that they may not. I'll tell you a brief story about Dan. Dan and I have been reading the Bible and discussing it weekly for over 12 years. Dan's a very smart guy. He's invented much of the technology at Coaljet, the company that we work for. I remember in the first few weeks that we were meeting, Dan said, you know, I've always believed in God. It's just this Jesus thing. I don't get it. Then after what seemed like 6 months into our Bible study, he said, wait a minute. If you read that sentence, it says Jesus is God. And I'm like, I was sure we had read 100 sentences through that 6 months that made it crystal clear that Jesus was God. But sometimes, until God removes the scales from our eyes, we just miss the obvious. And I think as you read the Bible in the future, you're going to pick up on these things that make it pretty clear what they're talking about, and it's all about what we've been talking about. So I want to wrap up the session with a few concluding remarks. The earth exists for the same reason that mankind and everything else exists, to glorify God. God is glorified when we take our rightful intended place in his creation and exercise the dominion that he bestowed on us. The earth is unique. It is the one planet where God chose to act out the unfolding drama of redemption and reveal the wonders of his grace. It is on the new earth, the capital planet of the new universe, that he will establish an eternal kingdom. Look at it a different way. We have been born into a family of an incredibly wealthy landowner, and we are his heirs. Our Father has a family business that stretches across the whole universe. He entrusts us to the management of his family business, and that's what we will do for eternity. We were all made for a person and a place, Jesus is the person, and heaven is the place. In the words of Randy Alcorn, as concluding words, we need to stop acting as if heaven were a myth, an impossible dream, a relentlessly dull meeting, or an unimportant distraction from real life. We need to see heaven for what it is, the realm we're made for. If we do, we'll embrace it with contagious joy, excitement, and anticipation. Thank you very much. Dan and I have enjoyed being with you, and we look forward to being with you in heaven forever. Thank you. Yes, sir. I have read stuff about it. I mean,
I'm not trying to play stump the speaker. I've never been able to figure it out. Because they got to the house where they were headed, and they all sat down, and then they had the gate. And then after he left, they realized it was him.
Yeah.
It's kind of an interesting story. I've never been able to hear that.
It's very interesting. I mean, obviously he meant it that way. He wanted to talk to them without being distracted probably by who he was. And I just wish that whole conversation was taped that we could hear it. it's a great question. Any other thoughts or questions or observations or...
John Manilakis had been there, he would have hung that reporter around Jesus' neck.
Exactly. He probably would have known how to wear it a lot better. And... All right. Thank you. Have a safe trip home.
On a housekeeping note, can you make sure you pick up everything off the floor?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Cheers.
I'll take this and this. Actually, you're going to have to help me.
Don't choke yourself.
I know, that's why I just don't want to do that.
Okay. Good stuff. Enjoyed it.
Thank you. Appreciate
and my hope
it.
Is that we'll see you this side of heaven again.
Yes.
But it's not in heaven. It'll be good.
It will be good.
Y'all have to say
we should have a reunion when
yeah.
we get there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'll take that and the name tag as well.